Okay, my friends, this passage on submitting to government, not all that inspiring, is it? Not all that interesting to us, really. And yet there are some underlying messages in this passage which are tremendously important for Christians who believe that they are living in the kingdom of grace. Let's look at it. Colin Cook here and how it happens. Thanks for joining me today. You're listening to the good news. So that our faith may be trained in God, who is good news, in Jesus and our Father and the Holy Spirit, who are good news, so that we can intercept our struggles and not feel alone on this planet or helpless. Now, Paul is anything but a revolutionary in this passage. You remember that Peter had been a revolutionary, a zealot, before he was converted, and there were many Jewish people who were zealots or who were revolutionaries before this time and during this time. But then Jesus reveals the kingdom of God and reveals that the kingdom of God comes not by might or power, and that the kingdom of God is seen by faith. And Jesus is revealed to be the one who breaks the forces of the kingdom, the kingdoms of the world, not by military might, not by power, but by the cross. This is, of course, a shock to all the disciples. It is a shock to the apostles. They had thought the kingdom of God would be brought in by some terrific force, but he's not here to bring in the kingdom of glory yet. He's here to bring in the kingdom of grace. And this is what makes this passage about government seemingly so passive or submissive. Look what Paul is saying. Let's read it again. Let every soul be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and the authorities that exist are appointed by God. Therefore, whoever resists the authority resists the ordinance of God, and those who resist will bring judgment on themselves. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Do you want to be unafraid of the authority? Do what is good, and you will have praise from the same. For he is God's minister to you for good. But if you do evil, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword in vain, for he is God's minister, an avenger to execute wrath on him who practices evil. Therefore you must be subject not only because of wrath, but also for conscience' sake. For because of this you also pay taxes. For they are God's ministers attending continually to this very thing. Render therefore to all their due, taxes to whom taxes are due, customs to whom customs, fear to whom fear, honor to whom honor. And there are many Christians who kind of cringe at this passage. But let me tell you, my friend, what the underlying message is. The underlying message is that revolution is not a priority for the Christian. The underlying message is that the kingdom of grace enables us to live within this material kingdom and submit to its authorities without trying to overthrow them. Now, please don't get me wrong. Paul was talking in a specific context of autocratic and despotic governments. At this time of Rome's ruling, the Caesars were virtual gods, and they had to be obeyed willy-nilly, whether you liked it or not. And so there was no voice of the people as we know it in democracy today. Of course we have a voice as responsible democratic system, as responsible citizens of a democracy. We have a right and a responsibility to vote a government out or in based upon what we believe to be good or evil or prudence or the benefits that they give us or don't give us. That's a different thing. But the overthrowing of government is a conviction that comes only to certain people when the time is right. But in the Christian life, generally speaking, we do not make a revolution against government as if the kingdom of God were to be confused with the kingdom of this world. Now, you might say to me, why do you make this point, Colin? Well, I make this point because the passage is in front of me and I have to deal with it, but also because so many Christians in the United States today, although they're not revolutionaries, clearly seem to be confusing the kingdom of God with the values of the United States. They're not the same, my friend, no matter how much you feel proud of America. I feel proud of America. I feel proud to be here. I feel that I am blessed in this country. I thank God for the protection it gives me. But I will not confuse it for the kingdom of grace. I will not spend time on this radio broadcast talking politics when I should be talking the gospel. The importance of that statement is that Christian ministers and Christian men and women should get their priorities right in regard to the fact that the kingdom of grace is priority number one. You and I may vote. You and I may take political positions. We have every freedom to do so. You and I may promulgate those political positions. We also have the freedom to do so. But do not in that act confuse the kingdom of the world for the kingdom of grace. Every kingdom of the world is described as a beast, my friend, fighting against the Lamb in the book of Revelation. Some people think that America is mentioned in the Bible, and those people make reference to the fact, to the possibility that it may be the Lamb, the nation that rose like a lamb, but then began to speak as a lion or a dragon, whichever it was, I can't remember. But do recall that all the nations ultimately, all the nations will betray God and bring in the Antichrist. And we shouldn't be too surprised at that. We're going to be appalled. We're going to be shocked. We are going to try to defend the truth in the midst of it all. But believe it, that the Antichrist is coming because God intends for it to come. It's not an accident. Remember what I quoted the other day, for God has put it into their hearts to fulfill his purpose, to be of one mind, and to give their kingdom to the beast until the words of God are fulfilled. That's Revelation 17, verse 17. That is intended by God. Why would God intend and arrange for the Antichrist to come? So that the true Christ, Jesus our Savior, may be revealed to all the world in the final unveiling of it all. So then, this gives us an attitude, a right attitude. We seek to be citizens of this world. We are not trying to transform this world like some in the Muslim faith are, the Al-Qaeda. We are not confusing the kingdom of God for this world and thus bring it by force, as the medieval Christian church tried to do. We are citizens of an invisible kingdom, and we're going to proclaim it and to teach it and to help people to know that they are citizens of that kingdom, even while they are citizens of this earth and seek to obey as best they can the laws of the land so that they will not be subject to the sword. I mean, it sounds pretty crass, doesn't it? But that's the point that Paul is making. We have a life here on this earth, even though we are citizens of the kingdom, and we live this life as best we can in harmony with the governments of the world. And of course, we are not citizens of this worldly kingdom. Well, what does this do to our attitude as Christians? And here I do a turn that may surprise you. Psychologically, my friends, we are all wounded people. We have anger from childhood. And if that anger from our abuse or neglect is not resolved, Then it will spill out all over the place. We will find anger towards people, anger towards authorities, because we have had bad experiences as children with our authorities, and we will very often transfer that personal childhood anger, we will often transfer it to government and to politics. And so I say to you, yes, be involved in politics all you want, but don't let the wounded child get in there so that you simply steam all the time. Don't sweat the big stuff, let alone the small stuff. Let's do our jobs as we are called to do. If you feel committed to, if you feel called to some issue of politics, but let's do it without an internal anger that is simply churning up our childhood wounds. We have a city whose builder and maker is God. If we keep that in mind, we lower our expectations of our government. We will lower our expectations of political issues, and we will have more peace in this world, and we'll be looking in the right direction. I'm looking forward to seeing you at the next seminar, my friends, which is July the 28th on a Saturday at La Quinta Inn at 9 in the morning till 3:30 in the afternoon. Now, some of you may, who've never been to one of my seminars before, might feel a bit shy or wonder what it's about and whether you'll be sort of getting yourself into something you don't like, or you might be scared that we'll all be singing and raising our hands and jumping up and down and rolling on the floor or something. No, it's not like that. It's really like going back to school, if you like. There'll be about anything from 15 to 25 people there. And we don't sit in a circle all too exposed to one another. We sit in classroom style at tables with tablecloths on them. And you bring your notebook and your Bible. And we have a 40-minute presentation by me, and then 10 minutes for questions, and 10 minutes for bathroom breaks, and then we go around again for the next session, and till 3:30 in the afternoon with a break for lunch. There's coffee and orange juice at the back, and you'll enjoy it, I think. You won't be put on the spot. You can be in the corner if you like. You can disappear in psychological sense if you want, or you can get involved. It's all up to you. And by the way, admission is free. Donations are welcome, but optional. Well, what's it all about? Well, it is about counseling yourself. I think you all know, don't you, that we counsel one another all day. I mean, each other. We are counseling ourselves all day. The negative thoughts, you're no good, what's wrong with you, you can never do anything right, I'm worried about this bill, or I wonder if I can pull that off. All of this is counseling to yourself, which you so often listen to, of course. That is the counseling in the kingdom of death, which Paul talks about in Romans chapter 8. But the counseling you will learn, my friends, at this seminar is counseling from the very hopeful, positive, bright words of God itself. We are going to learn how to counsel ourselves through Romans chapter 8. This is the chapter that speaks about freedom from the kingdom of death, that speaks about everything being transferred into the kingdom of light and grace. So it's going to be a really important time for you, and I encourage you strongly to be there. All right, my friends, I'll see you at that time then. When is it? The 28th of July. And I'll see you next time. So, cheerio and God bless.